profits.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Amazon intends to cut prices at Whole Foods. That's good news, isn't it? I'll tell you today on Hightower's Radio Lowdown.
This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program.
All right. Thank you for joining us here on Radioactive Magazine. This is Craig Lubo, and my guest tonight is Hirsch Ellis. And let me have the two of you introduce yourselves.
Sure.
My name is Erin DiOrio.
My name is Sonny Stolman.
Okay. And what we're going to talk about tonight is Hirsch is the artistic director of some plays here that are going to be featured at the Fringe Festival this year.
Yes,
and
we are.
And he did a couple plays last year. Remind us what the two plays were last year.
Last year we did two one acts by Tennessee Williams, Green Eyes and I Can't Imagine Tomorrow, that ran in Rep at the Arts Asylum.
And so this year, he has three plays. One is called Incognito. One is Marie Antoinette. And the other is Geography for Idiots, plays about places I've never been. Sonny is in geography.
Yeah.
And Erin is in Marie Antoinette.
Mm-hmm.
Let me start with, if you can, Hirsch, tell us a little bit. I tried to get Cheryl here for a few minutes online and didn't connect with her. So if you can tell us a little bit, what is Fringe?
Yeah, well, Cheryl is the busiest woman in Kansas City right now because she is putting together the Kansas City Fringe, which is July 20th through 30th, all over the city at various different theaters. And for Casey Fringe, there are several hundred, I think it's close to 400 performances, ranging from theater to music to visual arts to film screenings to dance performance pieces to performance art to avant-garde performance art to it ranges the whole spectrum of what the performing arts is.
Okay. And some of those have ended up or were based upon Broadway shows, I think, a few. And at least a handful ended up being played at Starlight Theater.
Yes, they
After it was in Fringe.
So. Yeah, and Cheryl does great work with Fringe Presents, and one of our shows will be transferring to New York after this, which we'll talk more about in a bit.
Okay. I wanted to get into one issue unrelated to Fringe.
Sure.
I don't know if your organization, what's your group called?
Homegrown Theater Company.
Okay. And I don't know if Homegrown Theater or Fringe gets any federal grants or not, but I know the administration has threatened, it actually looks like a serious threat this time, to cut off all federal grants to everything relating to arts.
Yeah.
How would that affect you?
It's really interesting. I just got back from London, and over there I couldn't believe how well-funded their arts were and how affordable tickets were. And it was created this amazing literacy that the plays there are able to be smart and really attack relevant topical issues, and it's because they train their audience so well. And I think there's something that I hope it's shifting, and I hope the recognition of the NEA recently, because it's being threatened, I think that that's going to start to push how important arts are. There really hasn't been a great society in history that isn't reflected well in its art. And it's something that Americans, I think, we're starting to realize now, and I'm really hopeful for where that goes in the future. It is a little disconcerting. You know, there's amazing institutions here, such as Kansas City, we have the Casey Rep, the Unicorn, the Coterie, the Living Room. I keep listing theaters that get federal funding that would really be in a tough spot.
So let's move to the three plays.
Sure.
Which one would you like to start with?
Do you want to start with Marie Antoinette?
Sure.
All right. So, Erin, tell us a little bit about what the show is.
So,
and maybe explain a little bit about what your character will be.
Yeah, absolutely. So Marie Antoinette takes place during the French Revolution. It's written in an extremely contemporary style, though, and it follows Marie's life as essentially a rock star in this culture of pre-revolutionary France, and then through the Revolution, and it follows her story until her ultimate demise.
Okay.
It's about the ultimate luxurious lifestyle.
Absolutely. And I am playing Marie Antoinette, which is why I'm here today.
And is this more of a drama or a comedy? Or?
It's a dark comedy, so there's elements of both in there.
Sunny, why don't you tell us some about geography?
The full title is A Mouthful, Geography for Blank Idiots, Plays About Places I've Never Been. Blank isn't in the title. We're replacing a word not safe for radio, but it is about... it is essentially a play about a play. You get the inside look on these writers' process to make something that they want to be truly great, and their inevitable failure to do so. We're really excited about presenting it to Kansas City before we try to go off-Broadway with it, which we're really excited about. It's a world premiere here, so...
So you're going to do this in New York then afterwards?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And tell us more about the character you'll be playing.
I'll be playing...
How do you know this guy?
Well, what's funny is this wasn't originally going to be a play about a play. It started out as a play, and then we decided that the writing process was more interesting than what we were writing. So I am playing a slightly caricaturized version of myself.
Okay. And what sort of plays have you done before?
Well, this one's pretty unique, to be honest. It's like nothing I've ever worked on before, but usually I like dramas. I like stuff. I'm in stuff with banter. I'm in stuff with a lot of dark humor, like Aaron was talking about. Stuff like that. I love a good drama. I love a good dark comedy. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of fun going into this where we get to do something just off the wall, kind of fun, and there's, you know, Sunny and Michael, the writers, are so good at finding just the humor in their life that it's really kind of isolating the funniest and the stuff that came out of writing this that just is unbelievably crazy.
And when he says Michael, he's talking about Michael Elliott, my co-writer and co-star. Both of us are playing versions of ourselves.
And so you act in it and co-wrote it.
Oh, we're acting in it, we co-wrote it, and we are co-directing it. We're playing all sides of the field on this one.
What else can you tell us about the Marie Antoinette?
So if I had to describe Marie in one word, it would probably be opulent. As Hirsch mentioned before, it's about the excess of her lifestyle and the effect that it had on her community, on her family. Our director, Caleb Tank, who is directing Marie Antoinette, he describes this play as a family drama on a global scale, and it can't be more true. It's about politics, but it's so much more than that. It's about the relationships of the people involved with running a country.
Does this kind of portray your thoughts or anything as it relates to what's happening in this country at all?
Well, there's definitely a lot of division in our country. That's probably the most blatant effect that politics has had on us. It's one side of the coin or the other, and Marie Antoinette definitely portrays another time period in which things were so clearly black and white.
Divided.
So divided, for the better or the worse.
And Hirsch, tell us a little bit more about Homegrown Theater, how it's evolved. And
yeah, well, this is our fifth season this year. We've been, this is our fourth year at the Fringe. We've got our three shows. We've got Geography, Marie, and then our third show, which is Incognito, which we haven't touched on yet. And we'll talk about it in a second, I'm sure.
Okay.
But yeah, it's we've been trying to grow, and we've been trying to see what's next for us. And the thing that we've decided to do this year is we've mix and match. We have about a dozen New York City theater artists and a dozen Kansas City theater artists coming together to make all three of these shows together. So every single one of the productions blends artists from two different great theater cities. You know, we take really the best, most exciting emerging talent we can find in New York, and then the best of this kind of crack team I've had here that have been working together for half a decade in what is really just a warm, inviting city to make theater. You know, there's a reason I split my time between here and New York making work, because there is something I just love about audiences here and about the way we look at work being made, and the people here want to see exciting and fresh and new. And so attaching, you know, Aaron is from the East Coast originally. Sonny grew up here, but he now lives in New York, and he and I know each other from the city. So it's been really cool to show, to blend the best of two towns. So that's been our growth point this summer.
Okay. And do you show this in other French cities as well?
Mainly we'd like to put it up in New York. A lot of our stuff is Kansas and New York. It's fascinating to see Kansas City reactions to things and New York reactions to things. It's just, they're two so different, so wonderful audiences in two different ways. It's amazing to get a packed house in Kansas City, and it's amazing to get a packed house in New York, but I don't think you could ever compare the two. Fringes all over the places are fascinating, but we have a unique one here for sure.
Yeah. And then, our third show this year with Incognito, which is the one we haven't talked about, is the only one that is entirely a visiting cast. Actually, it's four actors, which we ran in New York in the fall. So we're looking forward to running that here. Incognito, it's four actors playing 21 different parts. They each play six different characters. They never leave the stage, and they move boom, boom, boom from character with the voice and the body and the getting to show off their range as performers, telling the story about Dr. Thomas Harvey, who stole Albert Einstein's brain. He performed the autopsy on Albert Einstein, and when he found the brain there, something clicked in his head that said, what if I took this brain and figured out what it is about Albert Einstein that made him Einstein? It's the mind of the greatest mind of the 20th century. What happened? So he actually, it's a true story, he carted it around in the trunk of his car for 40 years to different experts to try and figure out what was it about it that made him Einstein, and ultimately was able to came up short, leaving with this huge question of what is it about us that makes us us if there's nothing physical about it.
He really carried around Einstein's brain?
Yeah, he carried around little jars. He carried around a little jar. So we get to talk about what memory is. And with these four actors, you know, you see, it's not like watching a film where you see exactly what happened. Your brain is putting together four actors walking around on a stage, and you see 21 different people.
So, tell me, I'm a little bit confused.
Yeah, shoot.
Because you said six characters.
But
21
There's
parts.
21 parts of four actors, so they each play, each play five or six characters in the play, individually, making up a total of 21.
All right, so it's kind of like 21 separate stories?
No, it's three separate stories.
Three
separate stories. I'm not good at math. I'm in the arts.
All right. And of the shows that you've done in the past, have any of the shows been played at some of the other theaters in town besides the French Festival?
Yeah, absolutely. Even this summer we've got Spring Awakening, which is going to be running at Musical Theater Heritage in August. And then I directed another show for the Fringe this year called Down the Urinal Hole, which is playing at Musical Theater Heritage. We've done site-specific work in Above Stops, and we have done work at Union Station, and we have worked in a lot of academic places. We've worked out of universities in the area. We really try to find the space that fits the show best.
Okay.
Yeah.
And before we go on, I do want to do two calendar items for our listeners. One is tonight, after this show is over, if you want to head over to the Overland Park Lutheran Church at 7 p.m., the Sierra Club meeting has their monthly meeting there, and that's eight blocks west of Metcalf on 79th Street at the corner of Lowell. And the show tonight, or the program they have, is environmental toxins and the impact on children's health. Then Thursday night this week at 6:30, Amnesty International is having their meeting and presentation at the Center for Inclusion, which used to be called Like Me Lighthouse, at 3911 Main Street. And the director of that center will be talking about LGBT issues for Amnesty International. Okay. So let me have you, if you want to tell, like, when these shows are.
Oh, sure. I'm going to need to prepare the dates for a second. I wish I had them all memorized.
Okay. I only have two of them printed for some
reason. It's okay. Don't worry. I have them right here. So, yeah, so all three shows run in rep at the H&R Block City Stage, which is downstairs in Union Station, which is just an amazing space. So we have Incognito, which runs Saturday, July 22nd at 9 p.m., Sunday, July 23rd at 3, Monday, July 24th at 7:30, Wednesday, July 26th at 9, Thursday, the 27th at 6, and Saturday, the 29th at 6. However, all that can all be found online. All of these can be found on the Fringe website. I'll keep going through them. Geography is going to play in the same space Friday the 21st at 9 p.m., Sunday the 23rd at 6 p.m., Tuesday the 25th at 7:30, Wednesday July 26th at 6 p.m., Thursday July 27th at 9, and Saturday July 29th at 10:30. Erin, do you want to take the Marie times?
Yeah, sure. Marie Antoinette will be playing Friday, July 21st at 10:30 p.m., Sunday, July 23rd at 7:30, Tuesday, July 25th at 7:30, Wednesday, July 26th at 9, Friday, July 28th at 10:30, and Saturday, July 29th at 7:30.
And so if people want to get more information about your group,
Yeah, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and then all of our shows you can find on the KC Fringe website. If you want to search by artist, you can search us under Homegrown Theater, and you'll come directly to our shows.
And the Fringe site is kcfringe.org. Do you have a website besides for yours, besides Facebook?
We do, but it's down for maintenance right now.
Okay.
It should be back up by the festival, and we'll send it over.
Okay. And you mentioned the play coming up in September.
Oh, August. Yeah, Spring Awakening.
Okay. And where is that going to be playing?
That's at Musical Theater Heritage. Yeah, Spring Awakening, it's our fifth anniversary show. We wanted to find something that was really kind of descriptive of 5 years of making work here. And so Spring Awakening is so much a coming-of-age piece, and it's about an ensemble, and it's about a community. So we have a cast of 17 actor-instrumentalists. That are going to be on stage acting, singing, dancing, and making music together to tell this coming-of-age story.
Okay. And what motivated the three of you initially to get into performing and writing and directing?
Oh, wow.
It's funny you asked about that. My entire show is, like, about my greatest fear of performing. I've always really enjoyed, there's something about affecting people and giving people perspective and giving people feelings, I guess, for lack of a better term, that has always really inspired me and really brought me joy in life. There's something about, like, causing a laugh or even the silence when you know you have an audience just, like, in the palm of your hand is just... absolutely beautiful to me. And I just kind of chased that for a while, and I'm here.
Okay.
I've been acting since I was a kid. I've always loved it. I think the beautiful thing about acting is that it's the only art form that allows you to convey the human experience using the human body and using language. It's a picture of the human experience right there in front of you. And it's the closest way to connect with people.
Mm. Yeah, I think there's something really honest about theater. You can't lie to an audience, which is why I love that we are taking three shows that are so, like, something like Incognito, where you see all the pieces. It gets to be so unbelievably human because we can't lie to you. We can't say that these are 21 different people. You see the four of them. So what's kind of what's left in it is the humanity and the depth there. And I really fell in love with the idea of, at a really young age, of making something out of nothing and then using your brain to put together what you're seeing, because you can see all the pieces of it coming together, that lets the message and the identity and the humanity come out so strongly.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. There's all these shows kind of show the humanity of things you don't usually see. His brings humanity to science. Hers brings humanity to royalty or those who are in power. And ours is about like the, well, like you see bad movies, right? And you never like really think like there's a lot of people who worked tirelessly day in and day out to make this good, and it still isn't. So it's kind of bringing humanity to that process. But yeah, I think they all show a really human side of.
Yeah.
Of things
well,
that you wouldn't usually
yeah,
see.
Yeah, well, I mean, like some of the things Cognito, it's because we're talking about brains, all the characters are neurologists. And the funny thing about neurologists is they're so good at neurology that they're really bad at life. And that's something that I think all artists can connect to, because we get so hyper-focused into what we do that the life side of it becomes the absolute secondary. So it's something that even though while we make art, we make art, we're very much not science people, we can connect with something about neurology and about carting a dead guy's brain around for 40 years, because it's about this obsessive kind of consuming focus. It's that you really have to be to make real honest art, real honest work.
Mm-hmm. And how would you... So you've all performed on... In New York as well.
Yes.
Yes.
Is there a difference in the audiences and stuff and yeah. your experience in performing in New York versus Kansas City?
Who wants to take this?
New York audiences are tough. Like, I love working in New York. They keep you at your best. There's something... New York audiences are... They're not... New Yorkers aren't... Like, I've lived there. I love living there. I'm not trying to knock it, but it's... It's there's a toughness there that, you know, they're not mean, but they Kansas City audiences come to see a show and they want to go with you. They really want to enjoy this thing. That there's something communal about it. You know, with a show like Geography, where it is about making a play, and we have, you know, we have scenes in the theater where we're acknowledging the audience is there, and that it's about making work. They want to come along with us, and it's, you know, it's especially meant to play about going up against a tough audience.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Kansas City audiences definitely want... It's good being with an audience that really, really wants to see you succeed. I think a New York audience has a very critical eye, and it's not that the Kansas City one doesn't. It's just the Kansas City one gives you the benefit of the doubt and really wants to have a good time and really wants to be moved, I think.
In New York, you have to really fight to get butts in seats, whereas here, you know, with Casey Fringe, there's... this really amazing thing happens where there's hundreds of people that go see like 30 shows in a week, and they just go back to back to back to back, and they just see everything. They just consume this art that's happening here. That's kind of makes one of my favorite weeks out of the year, because we'll see people. You know, I guarantee we have people that see all three of these shows, not because they know they're all related, just because they see everything at this festival, and it creates this amazing communal experience for everybody. Because you see anywhere you go downtown during this week, you see these people with these buttons, and they're walking around and they're talking to each other about the work they're seeing. Oh, go see this; it's fantastic. Oh, stay away from that. There's this conversation happening. You know, I love that. That's really kind of cool, because it's, you know, when you do work like we're lucky to have with these three shows that really have, we feel like we really have something to say with them.
Don't stay away from our shows.
Don't stay away. Yeah, don't stay away from them. People will not be saying that. No one's going to be saying that about our shows. Yes. Just going to give you a heads up. But if we have this opportunity to make shows that say something, and then this conversation gets to continue around the city for a week and really influence the culture here. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
And you mentioned the two plays that you had last year.
Yeah, which you came to see, and
yes.
We had talked afterwards a bit.
Right.
Yeah.
And was that the first year you were in Fringe, or did
you
do previous ones?
I've been in Fringe for four... This is my fourth season doing Fringe.
Mm-hmm.
Our first year we did an adaptation of The Princess Bride. And then our second year we did this really, really, really smart play called Really, Really, which Sonny was in.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of his first shows with us.
It was my first Fringe show. It was my first... It was my first show acting in a homegrown show.
Yeah. And then last year we had our two Tennessee Williams one acts. this year we've taken on a lot.
Yeah.
I missed those first two.
Yeah.
So and I think in your email you said about half of the cast is from Kansas City and half from
New York. Yeah, about half the cast from Kansas City and New York. Everyone is living together in close quarters. We're in rehearsal. We ran here from rehearsal today. Sunny and I were in rehearsal for geography. We swing by Marie to grab Aaron. It's this close
because
people are, you know, we have people collaborating on all three shows. So they're bouncing around from all three right now, and we've got this amazing staff that keeps everything straight.
So when you're doing the rehearsals, are you using three separate locations?
We have three separate studios.
Okay.
We have three separate studios. And, you know, varying degree of Marie that's got, it's a big, it is exuberant, has all of these pieces, and cake, and costumes, and music, and whereas, you know, Incognito is a piano and four actors.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pieces going on.
Yeah.
And when we were talking about the difference between Kansas City and New York, in terms of the theaters, do you have, is there a difference in
the spaces themselves?
The spaces themselves.
Yeah. We would never get to do work in spaces this nice in New York. It's really competitive. You know, Kansas City's so inviting. They really encourage new and fresh talent. There is this amazing room for people, for emerging work to happen. All three of these shows have never been done in Kansas City. One, because it's a world premiere, or as Incognito, it's a British play, and it's a exciting and thoughtful piece of work that we get to premiere here for the first time, which is really exciting. And I don't think we'd get to do that in New York.
Yeah, it's tough to find. It's tough to find spaces in New York. It's tough to put up shows in New York. It's really difficult. So there's this welcoming thing that you get when you have somewhere like Kansas City that's so open to new work.
All right, so we're just about out of time. Is there anything that you want to say that I haven't covered?
Yeah, just want to say again that we have three shows. We have Incognito. We have
Marie Antoinette.
Geography for Blank Idiots, plays about places I've never been.
All three of them are playing at City Stage at Union Station. You can find out more about them on kcfringe.com.
.org.
Yeah, okay, .org. kcfringe.org. Oh, my gosh. kcfringe.org. I'm sorry, Cheryl.
And tell us one more time how they would find you on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Find us on Facebook under Homegrown Theater, on Instagram under Homegrown Theater, and under on Twitter. Okay. Yeah, and thank you so much for having us on.
And I guess they would want to, do they need to specify Kansas City or something? Because when I Googled it before, there were like at least half a dozen
other
companies with the same name.
Were there really?
States.
Oh, then specify Kansas City, absolutely.
Okay. There was one I remember from Texas with the same name.
Was there really? Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. It's so funny. I think we'd like get each other's mail or something.
Okay. So I want to thank you for joining us. For those just joining us, we've been talking about three plays that Hirsch Ellis is directing at the Kansas City Fringe Festival. And we have Sonny.
It's all right.
And say your last name again.
Sonny Stolman.
Okay. And he was co-writer and is an actor in the geography play.
For Idiots. Yes.
All right. And Aaron, and say your last name again.
Diorio.
Okay. And she is a cast member in Marie Antoinette.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.